Well, this last week I watched this documentary. It was called Hacked. It was about that scandal a couple of years back where some of our information was being harvested from Facebook to use as a tool to influence voters in major elections. You might remember that news story and even some rumors that there was some influence of the Russian government trying to influence U.S. voters to vote for one particular candidate and not another. I had to follow that documentary pretty closely because it's very sophisticated. The harvesting of data as a weapon to influence whole nations to change their mind and to believe what someone wants them to believe. That's a sophisticated ruse. The influence had to do with targeting specific news stories and opinion pieces and blogs to lead people down a path that would have them choose whatever the person that was giving that certain slanted information wanted them to choose. And while I watched, I could hear Proverbs 1 echoing back in my mind. Think carefully what path you choose. Pay attention. Choose wisely. So we're going to hear that same text again from last week. It's a powerful passage. It's full of shocking, even violent images. I know that when Brian and I sat down the first time, I read it out loud and slammed the Bible shut and said, "Are you sure? I don't know. This too many images for me here. I can't fathom it." And yeah, he was a little, taken aback by that. I think I see things a lot in imagery that he didn't see. But we're going to ask ourselves, what path are we on anyway? And we're going to be called to the gospel that calls us to the truth and not to fake news. So let's hear the word of God as it comes to us from Proverbs 1, verse 8 through 15. I will be reading this from the NIV version. If you have a Bible app on your phone, please feel free to use it now. Hear the word of the Lord. Listen, my child, to your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. My child, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, "Come along with us, let's lie in wait for someone's blood, let's waylay some harmless soul, let's swallow them alive like the grave, and whole like those who go down to the pit. We'll get all sorts of valuable things. We'll fill our houses with plunder. Throw your lot in with us, and we will share a common purse." My child, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their path, for their feet rush into sin. They're swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net in full view of all the birds. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They waylay only themselves. Such is the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the lives of those who get it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, as dramatic as the scene in Proverbs 1 is, this powerful passage, it bluntly shows us the cost of not following Jesus. This is the cost of non-discipleship, and it's a shocking picture. It looks at first so appealing, answering all of our deepest longings to belong, to be invited, to be given a valuable place, to be noticed, to gain the good life and all the stuff. Proverbs exaggerates here a life without God. It doesn't follow in the way of holiness, doesn't follow that path of God's love that's well marked out by Jesus Christ. Exaggerates to shock, to make a point. Unintentional living, a life led by our own desires, by those longings that we have deeply within us, will entice us down a merry path. Come along with us, feeling that deep longing to belong, to have a place at the table, to be in the inner circle. We'll get all sorts of valuable things. We'll fill our houses with plunder. Feeling that deep longing for beauty and wealth and abundance. We rarely want to admit that we have this longing, but we can all agree that we live in a materialistic and consumer culture, and we participate in it. Throw your lot in with us. We'll share a common purse. Oh, that's so appealing. We'll have all things in common. Let's waylay some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive. Let's make our own rules. Let's do life on our terms. No one can tell us what's right. The truth will be our own. There'll be no grand story, no overarching grand story. We'll decide what we want, and we'll go for it. And no one can tell us we're wrong, and we'll do what's right in our own eyes. No doubt, there is this bright quality that catches our eye and lures us in with its promises, with this fun and easy life that asks nothing from us and promises much. No expectations of trying to be good or to love your neighbor or to notice another person's sufferings, because who cares? Sorry for your poor luck, buddy, but I've got my friends and my interests and my own life, and I can do things my way, and everyone else is just a pylon. That's a violence that's not so far off from our current culture. It's a path of life that's led by self-love, led by those powerful forces of ego and will, choosing a path that will satisfy my own ambition, with no demands, no expectations, and no responsibilities, and no transformation. Proverbs' wisdom is an urgent warning. Friend, beloved child, don't do it. Don't give that life a second look. It leads to a bad end. And instead of getting all that you hoped for, you will lose it all. For in this self-living life, others aren't expected to be good to you either. Others aren't expected to notice your suffering or love you in a way that will give up their time and their resources and pour their energy into you. And in the end, you'll gain nothing. There's no future in this life, but there is a cost. No hope for more, no promise of eternity, and in the end, it ends in death. Well, it's game time. So how do we get in the game of life? Well, there's solid instruction. There's a way to live this life that fulfills our deepest longings of our hearts, longings so deep we aren't even always aware they're pulling us in a direction. There really is a truth beyond ourselves leading us to a life worth living. So pay attention, says Proverbs 1. Listen up. Follow this way and don't give up on it. Well, now not everyone is going to have received this solid teaching from their parents. But sometimes we literally do get this passed down from moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, this wisdom for living well. It's many of our experience. For living abundantly with a hope and a future by wise parents who knew who to follow and where to find life. That is wealth. That is amazing wealth. And sometimes it's spiritual parents, mentors, and community who has heard this teaching and knows where wisdom comes from, who have persevered in Jesus Christ. But however wisdom comes, the call and the warning are the same. Listen well, obey, don't give up. Have you heard how to get into the game of life? Maybe we need a reminder. How to follow Jesus Christ, the straight up gospel. Because it's Jesus who reveals the truth that answers our deepest longings. It is Jesus who shows us the way to live well and to live love. It's Jesus who gives us not just life full and whole and abundant now, but eternally, a life that doesn't end in death. Jesus showed us the wise living, which is a deep connection to the Father, who satisfies our deepest longings to belong and to be accepted, and our deepest question of who am I? Child of God, beloved one, gathered and chosen and accepted by the one who created all things, Jesus, whose regular practice it was to go away alone to be with his Father. And from this intentional and loving relationship flowed a self-giving life, willing to sacrifice everything, including himself, for our sake. A sacrificial love that welcomed all people regardless of what unintentional life path they chose to be on. Religious folks and prostitutes alike, all were welcomed when they listened to Jesus and followed his way. Well, Proverbs calls us to choose life as a student of Jesus, as his disciple, following him into that same self-giving, sacrificial love that's deeply connected to the Father, or a life led by a self-love, enticed by bright lights and big promises of selfish living that puts me first and seems to ask nothing of me. Well, I put before you life and death, prosperity and destruction. Love God, walk in his ways, keep his commandments, so that you will live, really live, living exuberantly, blessed by God. And if you have a change of heart and refuse to listen and willfully go off to serve yourself and other gods, you most certainly will die. Now choose life. The Lord is your life. That's Deuteronomy. What's evidence of a life prepared? What lifestyle is the way of holiness that follows Jesus? Well, it's behaving in ordinary moments like Christ. So first we will have to know Christ. So our lives show evidence of seeking him out. Of course, all those habits that we know, Bible reading and study, prayer, community, worship, talking together about Jesus. These are all ways that we know Jesus. Faithfully living Christ's way, though, is as practical and as intentional as asking, what should I do with my paycheck that will honor God? How can I play soccer, do my homework, answer the phone, drive on the Anthony Henday, or go to a meeting in a way that loves and honors my neighbor? How can I speak and act that will honor and respect and build others up in all my relationships? In what ways can I be a self-giving friend when I date, as a spouse, when I live my family life, or with my neighbors? How can I live in such a way that reveal to them that I am a child of God and I'm trying to live like Jesus Christ? Christ's wisdom is as down to earth and as practical in the daily stuff of living as that. And the first step is to heed Proverbs' call, to choose wisdom, to choose life, to choose Jesus, to pay attention to the road that we're on. Now, for some of us, this is going to be a course correction. God, the Holy Spirit, leading us to notice where we've begun to veer off track, gone on into some wrong directions, enticed by what looks easy and undemanding with a lot of payoff. Friends, there is not one here who can say we don't need to hear the Spirit's wisdom. We want this life, but perversely, we don't commit ourselves to do what it takes to gain the life we want. Really, we want it to just happen without effort. There's some wisdom in deeply understanding what entices each of us, for it is unique to each of us. Some of us are enticed by order, and so we keep our house and our garden and our car a certain way, and then we judge others when theirs doesn't look like ours. Some of us are enticed by beauty, and so we are lured away by fashions and fads. Some of us are enticed by stories, and so we are lured into sharing stories of others, gossip. Some of us are enticed by hard work, and we enslave ourselves to endless toil, and then we judge others when their work ethic isn't as good as ours. Each time we're lured away, there's someone who gets stepped on, pushed down along the way. Each time there's ill-gotten gain, the satisfaction of being better than someone else, of being in the know of all the secrets and the stories, and really of being important because we're so busy. Practical living and effective faith is this intentional commitment to the wise habits of faith practiced daily, to grow in them so that we're deeply changed. Even those deeper things of our hearts that entice us become transformed, and they're answered in Christ alone. So how are we doing in those wise habits of faithful living? Maybe time for some recommitment, some refreshment, some renewal in our daily life to follow Christ again. Well, Hebrews says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. So those of us who know the gospel, we are the leaders. Looking at our own lives, can we say, follow me as I follow Christ? Are we confident in that? That's serious stuff. Because there's nothing more evil that we could do than to lead others away from God by the example of our own lives. Now, for some of us, this might be pretty new. Maybe we've never really paid attention before to the path of life that we're on. We just kind of live. And maybe today will be your first commitment to learning who is this Jesus Christ. And how can I get that wise life that he offers? And it matters not if we have sat in this church for 20 years. Today may be your first day. How can I get onto that journey to heed the call, the path that ends in life? A way to live that will satisfy our deepest wants and heal the most secret of wounds. There is a person to follow who sees us so completely and knows us through and through, even those hidden parts we refuse to allow anyone to know. One whose love for us is so complete and so whole and so perfect. One who gave everything for us so that we could live in relationships with each other and with our God. Good relationships that flourish, healthy and whole. First with our Creator, with our Father, and then to each other. Jesus is the way to flourishing. He is the truth that we long to know. Jesus is the one to follow, for in him is life. And knowing Jesus puts us on wisdom's road. And at this end, we face death as a doorway, not as a finality. For in Jesus, there is only life. Death has not defeated him. The tomb that once held him is empty, and he is raised Lord of life. And so on wisdom's road, death is not our end either. For we who are in Jesus rise into his life. Now, friends, I'm not going to sugarcoat this. This is a demanding life. It will demand all of you. Your heart, your mind, your soul, your body, all in. A full commitment to loving and serving and believing in Jesus Christ alone. But it's not done alone. We do this together. We need someone that we can share our deepest thoughts with, our struggles, our doubts, our questions of faith. Somebody who will hold us accountable when we veer off course. We need someone who's further along the road in discipleship than us, to give us a hand forward that we can follow. We need someone to disciple, someone that we're further along the road in, and they can look to us for some help and guidance. The discipleship life is a mentoring life. So who's mentoring you now? This has nothing to do with age, for we never retire from being a disciple. So who are you a student of? What person is before you that you can say, I'm following that person, I see their life, I think it's important to follow them? And who are you mentoring now? This might be a bit more of a challenge for us because most of us feel so ill-equipped to train others up, but this is not optional. Christ calls us to grow up in faith, to be mature so we can go and do as he commanded. He said, go and make disciples of all nations and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. Those of us who have heard the solid good news, the wisdom of life in Jesus alone, salvation, because Jesus has been raised Lord of life. Those of us who know this are called to pay attention to our living so that we will love as he loved, self-giving and sacrificially. Those of us who have heard, who believe the good news, are commanded by him. Go and teach, mentor others, whether we feel ill-equipped or skilled, whether it is our passion and gift or not. Go and make disciples, and now you become the fathers and the mothers, the spiritual family, for those who need solid instruction on how to live. And this is for all of Christ's disciples, young and old. Each of us, upon accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, is poised to live a life the same quality as Christ. And what is that life? Deuteronomy lays it out. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, and revere and honor God. Serve him only. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, and it will go well with you. And what is right and good in the Lord's sight? Well, Jesus summed it up for us so that we could never forget. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 22. What is love? The Apostle Paul reminds us in a passage that is so well known. Love is patient and kind. Love doesn't envy or boast. It isn't proud. Love doesn't give up. Love cares more for others than for the self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't have a swelled head. Love doesn't force itself on others. Love isn't me first. Love isn't easily angered, and it doesn't keep a record of wrongs. Love doesn't plot evil or revel in it, but rejoices in the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres, and love never dies. The wisdom of Proverbs 1, calling us to heed the wisdom of moms and dads who have passed along faith, your own or your spiritual family, not just for our church, not just for your friends or your family or for this community, or even just for Christian denominations. This is for all the world, for all nations and people, to create a new people, a new tribe like none other ever seen before in the history of all humanity, transformed by the grace of God, made into a family by the love of Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit to become one people, one family in and through and because of Jesus. One tribe soaked in the love of God, arranging our lives around Christ's life practices, his wisdom taught to us in his word and in community, and in this deep connection we have to the Father. A beautiful new creation, a new life unfolding for you and for me and for all of us together. And God makes the way. So hear his call today. Choose life. Choose Christ. For he alone is the way and the truth and the life. Amen. Let's pray together. What a blessing it is, O Lord God, to be called back once again to your way, a way that gives us full and eternal and abundant life. What a blessing it is, God, to come together as family, as your people, one community. We together here and those across this nation and across the world coming together to proclaim there is one Savior who has given us life, Jesus Christ. We thank and praise you that we are on this road, this journey, this discipleship path. And we ask, God, that you would fully equip us, that we would be humble enough to be students of other disciples who will mentor us, and that we will feel empowered enough and courageous enough to mentor another who needs our help. Show us the way, Jesus. We long to follow you. Amen.